APB. I thought it was two P's or two B's. It's one P and one B. Okay. There's APB out on you. That's a good one too. APB. Now we're going to start in John chapter 6 this morning. Thank you, Jeremy. I do ask everyone's attentive this morning. I do ask that you have an open ear to hear this morning, because this is a serious message that will change your life if you will hear it. This is Jesus speaking in John 6. And he's talking about everlasting life. He's talking about the bread of life. And, you know, a lot of you have been out in the world and you try that circuit. Some of you today may still be in the world and you're trying that circuit. Some of you may be involved with things or doing things to try to satisfy your flesh, and you realize it doesn't really make a difference. It just makes things worse, because all of that passes away. We can fill our lives with a lot of sin and a lot of junk, but it all goes away. We can eat a big, heavy lunch today after church, which most of us probably will eat a nice lunch, whether it's grandma's cooking or whether it's a restaurant or whether it's a pot pie or a Hot Pocket. But somebody, you'll eat something today. But guess what's going to happen about 6, 7 o'clock this evening? You'll be hungry again, won't you? You're going to want to eat again. And that's what happens with the world. The world is seeking things, but they're staying hungry because nothing really satisfies. We hear about relationship. We hear about it's not religion. It's about relationship. It truly is about relationship. It's not about going through a religious motion. It's about having an understanding and a relationship with God, where He is so much a part of your life that it's an active fellowship. An active fellowship. It's not something that's distant. It's not something that only happens on Sunday or Wednesday, but it's an active fellowship you have with God. And He wants you. For so many people, they think God would never want me because of what I have done or because of what I'm doing now. And I've done so much stuff and so much wrong. And people will condemn you for that. People will judge you for that. People will put you in a box for that. People will look at you with scowling eyes and a snarled up nose, thinking you don't deserve any good thing in life. But God says, I don't see you that way. Because see, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, the Bible says. And I knew you in your mother's womb. He told Jeremiah's mother, you know, or Jeremiah the prophet, I knew you in your mother's womb. Well, guess what? None of us are accidents. We were born for a purpose. We're here for a reason. We're a seed that was ordained by God to be here. And you may be in a place that you think God hasn't helped me, or God doesn't hear me, or God doesn't want me, or what's the use? But God does want you. God loves you. And without having that grace understanding, you'll never get past that obstacle. Because all we can see is our sin. All we can see is what people have told us we are. All we can see is our past. All we can see is the writing of the books that we've written through our life choices. And God says, don't you understand? That's why I came. That's why I died. Because you couldn't save yourself. You couldn't change yourself. But because of what I did, I changed everything. I am a firm believer in the finished work of the cross. And I'm going to tell you something. I didn't always grow up in that kind of message. But I'm here to tell you that is the gospel message. If we preach any other thing but Christ completed the work, we are not preaching or believing in the true gospel. It's not a works mentality. It's not something we have to do. It's trusting Jesus. You bore my sins. You bore my iniquities. You bore my pain. You bore my sorrows. And you rose out of that tomb with my righteousness. I am righteous because of you, not because of me. How dare us think we're right because of us? Isn't that a very arrogant attitude to even have? My God, we're so shortcoming. All of us have such shortcomings. But if we realize that God overlooked those shortcomings and offered us something we can never get ourselves, man, we would take that and run with it. We're going to start in John chapter 6, beginning with verse 33. John 6, 33. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Life. There is no life apart from God. There is no life apart from his salvation. There is no life, because I truly believe that if we reject Christ, we reject that mercy and that grace and that love, that when we leave this earth, church, we're not just sleeping. We're just not non-existent. we are either in the presence of God or we are in the pit of hell. That's pretty clear in the Bible. So we have to understand Jesus came to offer something that we couldn't get ourselves. And that's escaping death and inheriting life. I can have life because of Jesus. Life. And that's why he came down. The purpose of Christ dying on the cross was to give life to those of us that were dead, which was all of us. Because we were born with a death sentence. That's why our body ages. That's why we grow old. It's because of sin. Sin sickness. You know, scientists can't even figure out why we grow old naturally, because our cells, every so many years, regenerate their cells. So we should never die. We should never grow old. Think about it. Your cells are rebuilding every 7 or 8 years or whatever it is, and they regenerate. How can you grow old? But we do, because we have a diagnosis of a sin sickness because of the curse of the law. So Jesus stepped in and said, I'm going to give you life, and I'm reversing that curse so that you may grow old in the natural, may have some wrinkles on your face and have some gray in your hair. But when all's said and done, at the last day, at the last time, I'm going to raise you up into everlasting life. And you will not go out the way you look in a casket, but you will inherit a brand new body and a brand new life. That's our hope and that's our promise because of Jesus. Now he goes on to say and talk about this a little bit more in detail. Verse 35. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This does not mean we're not going to have issues and battles and desires and things we want in our lives. Doesn't mean we're not going to have any wants or needs. What Jesus is saying is, what I give you will be all you ever need. It's enough. Once you find me, you can stop seeking. You can stop searching, because I'm it. You found the end of the rainbow. There's no more pot of gold bigger than me. There's no more prize bigger than me. I'm it. So you find me, you're not going to hunger no more. I'm going to satisfy you, and you're going to know who I am, and you're going to be complete in that. Complete. It's like when you find that right woman, right? You know it's the one. You marry them. Why do you marry them? It's the right one. You're satisfied. You've tried the others, but this is the one. You're satisfied. This is the one that completes me. Jesus completes us. Church, he'll complete your life if you'll let him complete your life. Now, little Hudson is saying, I'm hungry or thirsty or tired or something. Satisfies. Jesus does. He says, if you believe in me, if you'll accept what I have to offer. I mean, wouldn't we be foolish if someone said, I want to offer to pay your house off? No, I don't want to. I'll just keep making payments. I like that, because I get to claim the interest on my tax at the end of the year. Really? I want to pay your house off. That's okay. I'm good. Jesus is saying, look, I want to complete you. I want to make things right. See, we have to get the voice of the devil out of our heads and realize when we give ourselves to God, we're his. Jesus himself says, my sheep know my voice, and they follow no other. But yet, how come we do? How come so many of us follow that voice of the devil, as Christians, I mean, and we hear what he has to say? He has no right to speak into our life anymore. Do you hear me? The devil has no right and no authority to speak into our life if we are a child of the King. We dismiss that conversation. No, I'm not hearing you. I'm not listening to those lies, because you are the father of lies. And truth is all I want to hear. And God tells the truth. So I'm not listening to all that garbage you're trying to sell me. We listen to that, and that voice will keep coming back. And here's where the devil really gets us. And here's why we can't have no victory, church. Because I'm going to tell you, I want to make this very clear. I don't care how saved, and people say this sometimes, how saved you are. Are you really saved or a little bit saved? Whatever. You can never be so saved that you don't sin. You can never be so saved that you have no temptation. You can never be so saved you're not going to make mistakes and fall. So don't let the devil or other people put you in that box and say, if you were really saved, you wouldn't this. No, I'm going to keep doing mistakes. That's why Jesus had to do it for me. If I could keep myself saved, why would I need this bread from heaven? If I could keep myself righteous, why would I need this blood of Jesus to wash my sins away? I need a Savior. We need, the world needs a Savior. And the devil comes to that condemnation and that guilt. And, you know, we have to keep, and, you know, we've been taught this our whole lives. Got to get saved. I've taught people, say, I've got saved 9 times. Really? I mean, church, come on. Let's get with the word says. I was born to my parents 1 time. Thank God, right? Mama wasn't born 9 times. Push again. Push again. I mean, really? I was birthed into the kingdom 1 time. I've got to believe by faith. When I gave my heart to Jesus, I became his child. Now, I'm not saying we don't get off the wrong road, we don't come back, and we don't get close to God, and we don't ask forgiveness. I'm not saying that. But church, we don't keep getting re-saved. You know what that means? If I keep getting re-saved, that means I keep getting re-lost. And what does the Bible say about that? He went in once and for all, in Hebrews, to obtain eternal redemption for us. So how can, is God just going to, okay, Melanie, you're not saved today because, you know, you yelled at your husband. I'm sorry, God. Okay, you're saved again. All right, man, you're not saved again because you hit Axe up against the wall and threw it across the room. Okay, you're lost again. Okay, I'm sorry, God. Now you're saved. Melanie, you skipped giving your tithe check. You're not saved anymore because you didn't tithe this Sunday. I'm sorry, God. I'll make it up next week. I'll double up. Okay, now you're double saved. I mean, really, does that make any sense? No. And that's why we can't appreciate the grace of Jesus and walk in power and victory. Grace is much stronger than the law. When you love God, you don't want to hurt God. So you live a life to God inside that brings glory to Him. Love is much stronger than having to do something. Do you want your grandchild? Go kiss grandma. Do I have to? Go kiss her cheek. I don't want to kiss grandma. But when they run to you, grandma, like a $6 million man, telling my age bad. And they run and they hug you. Like when little Tay goes and hugs grandma, he sees her and he lights up. Grandma's not saying, now Tay, you come here and give me a hug. Don't do that. Tay sees her and smiles and runs to her. Isn't that a much better hug, grandma, than you having to make him hug you? Because you know it's from his heart. That's how grace is. When we're saved by grace, our heart belongs to God. Therefore, we serve God out of love, not out of, I have to. We're going to strike me at the with the lightning bolt. Or, I'm, you know, we're looking like this. Oh, God, I hope you don't hurt me. God, God. And we're walking around in just total fear. We walk in love. See, love is a much more powerful thing than fear. Love cancels out fear. Bible talks about that. Love casteth out all fear. There's nothing more powerful than love. Jesus proved that at the cross. Go to the next verse, Jeremy. This is 37. I love this. Look at this. All the Father giveth me. Jesus saying, all that my Father shall bring to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You will not be denied. Even Ernest T. Bass go to heaven. Remember the episode where he's trying to get in the army and he warns him he's a nut? And he's following that doctor around, repeat after me, 1, 2, and he's following, 1, 2. Tickle me. And he kicks him out of the army. You can't cut it, Ernest T. You're right, you're a nut. Well, you know what? God's not going to cast you out when you come to him. He's not going to look at your life and say, man, you're pretty checkered. You're pretty dark. There's a lot of junk in your history. And I'm just not sure that you qualify for heaven. He says, all that God sends me, everyone, I'm not going to cast you out. Church, he's not going to reject us. People reject us. Men reject women. Women reject men. Parents reject kids and kids reject parents. People reject each other, but God doesn't ever reject us. God loves us. And we come to him, he says, yes, I'll take you. Yes, I'll save you. Yes, I'll be your God. Yes, I'll clean you up. Yes, I'll follow you always. Yes, I'll be with you. Yes, I'll lead you. And yes, I'll guide you. And yes, I'm happy to call you son and to call you daughter. I am not ashamed of who you are because you were born to be mine to begin with. I birthed you and called you out by name. Yes, I'll take you. Man, that's powerful. We got people that won't accept us. We got peer pressure in our young people there that do stupid stuff just to be accepted. Just to be accepted. Girls give themselves away to be accepted. Guys do stupid stuff to be accepted and to look cool because I want somebody to like me and to accept me. But God accepts us. The Bible says that we are to come to God. See, another misconception I want to tell you. So many people have told me through the years, Pastor, I'm going to get it right one day. I'm going to get it straightened out, but I got to get some things in order. You'll never get your junk in order. You can't do that. Come to God like you are, broken and dirty and discouraged and ashamed, and say, God, I don't know what to do, but I give you myself. Can you do something with this mold of clay? He says, yes, I can. I've just been waiting for you to give it to me. We're like Plato, and he is the master. And he will take us and mold us and form us and help us and give us and shape us into what he wants us to be if we'll give him our lives. People say, Pastor, if I come try to give my heart to God, I keep sinning. Guess what? Welcome to the club. I'm just being honest. I am tired of religious, self-righteous people elevating themselves above others and saying, if there's no one in here that doesn't still sin, please stand up and cast the first stone at me. Any takers? No. So, yes, we're still going to mess up. My God. I mean, you think that my life is what you see on Sunday mornings all the time? No. Because I'm a man. I'm flesh and bone. I have temptations. I have attitude. I get mad sometimes. I get frustrated. Sometimes I'm weak. Sometimes I doubt. Of course. I'm not going to stand up here and, you know, rah, 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 be like me. My God, be more like Melanie than me, if anything. I'd say that. And so, yes, don't worry. Don't worry. Well, I'm going to give my heart to the Lord, but, man, I don't know if I can change. Well, guess what? You can on your own. But as you give your heart to God, the Holy Spirit will help you change. Because what happens, he gives you a different taste. You know how coffee, I guess, an acquired taste. I don't like coffee still. I don't drink coffee. I don't like it. It's too bitter. And if you put it full of cream and sugar, you might as well just drink cappuccino, which I do. I like cappuccino. But I don't like coffee. People drink black coffee. Oof. Man, bitter. Just makes me gag almost. You know what's acquired taste? Salmon, acquired taste. Everybody don't like salmon. It's kind of got an odd taste. You got to kind of like salmon. And definitely, I don't like salmon either. Brussels sprouts, my God, I didn't even go there. Y'all know about Brussels sprouts. Anybody likes that, just weird. But anyway, acquired taste. Well, you know what? As you give your heart to Jesus, he gives you different taste. You start desiring different things. All of a sudden, that desire. You know, when my mom testified a few weeks ago about when she got saved as a teenager, she stopped listening to, you know, rock and roll music, and, you know, back in her day, mom grew up in the, you know, as a young person in the 60s, as a teenager. And when she got saved, she stopped listening to all that music and all that. And I remember, you know, Jamie said, man, you gave that up. What's the big deal about that? And some of you may think, what's the big deal about that? You know, I understand that. But in mom's life, at that point of her life, when she got saved, it wasn't that she had maybe to give it up. I mean, maybe grandma made her give it up. But far as didn't make her give it, but mom had desire in her that I don't want to hear that anymore. I mean, you know, Elvis shaking his hips is okay, yeah. But I'd rather, you know, hear what God has to say. He's changed my desire. I want to hear things that edify my spirit. He changes you. So don't worry about having to do all, because you don't. God does all the work. So he's not going to reject any of y'all, verse 37. He says, I come now from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, that of all which he gives me, I love this. This goes along with what we're talking about. Look, of all the people God gives me, I should lose nothing or none of them. So who God gives me, I'm not going to lose them. What does this tell us? We're safe. Church, we are secure in the grace of Jesus. You know why Paul was persecuted so much in his preaching? it wasn't just because he preached the name Jesus. It's what Jesus stood for that made everybody so mad. Because the Pharisees and the leaders and the government and all the rulers had all these laws in place that he had to keep in order to stay saved or be God's. And Paul comes along whistling down the road. Nah, I ain't got to do that no more. What do you got to do? Believe in the one that died and rose. And nothing. That's it. Believe in the one that died and rose. And I'm saved, you're saved. But we as religious people try to complicate it through the years and make it such a hard thing to do. And our young people are so frustrated because we're pushing them telling them all this stuff they have to live instead of just trusting the Holy Spirit to guide their lives and tell them, look, Jesus paid the price for you. And he'll convict you. You ever get convicted, church? He convicts you, don't he? I ain't got to call Chuck and say, hey, Chuck, brother, you're doing this, and it's just wrong. Did you know that's wrong? You shouldn't be doing that. I'm ashamed of you. I'm disappointing you. You can't sing no more, brother, because you know what? I can't believe you're doing. What's that going to do to his life? Nothing good. What I do as a pastor is trust the Holy Spirit in the believer's life, convicts and draws. And many times, people come to me and talk to me openly and says, I'm doing this. I know it's wrong. I need you to help me. I need you to pray with me. I know it's wrong. I feel convicted by it. I know it's not right in my life. Just let God do the work. Let God do it. All that God sends, all that God draws, he's going to lose none of them. I got saved, really saved, born again in 1980. I've made a lot of mistakes in 1980, church. I have sinned 21 times since 1980. And you know what? Through all those sins and all those failures and all the junk, I go back to this verse. God, you drew me that night and you saved me. And you're not going to ever lose me or let me go. I am secure in your grace. That's what gives us power, to know we're secure. That God's not kicking us out or bounces around every mistake that we make. If we just realize who God draws, he's not going to lose any of them. None of them. It's like an old cowboy on a cattle drive, bringing them cattle across 2 or 3 states back in the old days. They'd always lose some heads, wouldn't they? Some strays, or they would lose some. They get lost or away from the fold, and they might have 1,000 they start with, come back with, 900 or whatever. We lost 100 head along the 1,000-mile journey. God don't lose no cattle. He don't lose no heads. When he called me, he says, I've got you for the rest of your life. My God, you mean you're my God for the rest of my life? Yep. Even if I don't always obey you, you're mine. Do your kids always obey you? No. You still love them? Unfortunately, yeah. Do you like them? Sometimes not. But you love them. And you know what? You don't just kick them out of your life and stop loving them because they mess up. How much more God loves us than we love our own kids? We can't fathom that kind of love. God's love for us, church, is so much deeper and greater than our love for each other. It's a God love. We're a human love. We're limited. And we find that out pretty quick how limited we are when somebody makes us mad. We can quit loving them pretty quick, can't we? Or act like we don't love them anyway. Next verse, Jeremy. Oh. This is the Father's will. Oh, yeah. But he should raise it up again at the last day. So whoever God gives, we're secure, we'll be raised up. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, look at this, everyone that seeth the Son, talking about Jesus, and believes on him, may have everlasting life. Those that see Jesus and believe in Jesus will have everlasting life. That means life that doesn't end. That means life that goes on. That means if I got everlasting life, how can I lose what God has given me? How? That's right. I can't, Joe. Not according to God's word. I can't. How can I lose salvation that I didn't earn? That I didn't gain? It wasn't mine to gain. It's not mine to lose. God keeps me by his hand and by his power.
Now, everybody doesn't believe this, and you don't have to believe it. That's your choice, but this is the gospel. We've had a lot of doctrine to come through to keep us bound about this, because we'll pick a verse or two, try to explain it away as, you know, blah, 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 but it's not there. If you study the word, it's not there at all. We are secure in the salvation of God if we are His child. Secure. And man, that gives us the victory and the power to walk in a whole new way. What if you tell your 13-year-old, when they give their heart to Jesus, and they really give their heart to Jesus, they come and they confess Christ, come to my heart, Lord, I give you my heart. They're drawn by the Holy Spirit. And then when they get saved, you look at them and say, you are God's child for the rest of your life. Always, you're God's child. Versus, now, you got to live right. You better not drink or smoke or curse or sleep around or do nothing wrong for the rest of your life. You know what they're going to be doing? My God, wish I hadn't got saved. That's what they're going to be thinking. Because all of a sudden now you put these boundaries on them that put them in a box of perfection. Anybody ever raise a 13-year-old or got a 13-year-old? Are they perfect? Anybody raise a perfect 13-year-old? No. But if you tell that 13-year-old at the altar, look, you're God's child now. He loves you. You're going to make some mistakes still. But remember who you are. And remember His love covers you. You know what that's going to do? All of a sudden they know He's not going to leave me. So it's going to keep their mind on the God they have. Not on the mistakes they may make. The God that I have. God, you still love me. Man, when you know God still loves you, that's hard to get away from. That's you can get away from hate. You can get away from judgment. You want to get away from that stuff. But you can't get away from love. Nobody's going to be lost when God has them. Go to the next verse. This is the will of Him that sent me. While we do that, go to the next verse. This is 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, he that believeth on me, hath everlasting life. Says nothing about works, nothing about you trying to be holy. He that believeth on me, that I paid the price, that I did the work. When someone pays for your meal and it's paid for, do you argue with that? I mean, do you say, it's paid for, I got it. Oh, okay. Well, thanks. Paid for. Done deal. You know, you pay for somebody in a restaurant, maybe that you don't even tell them. We've done it several times. It's really fun to do that. We'll call the waiter, say, that table right there, we'll take care of the bill. Don't tell them, so we'll take care of the bill. And so we'll pay it, go on out. Can you imagine when the waiter comes, where's my ticket? You don't have a ticket. It's paid for. Huh? Who paid for it? Some table over there? I don't know. They paid for it. You're free to go. Paid for. Jesus paid for it. He paid for it. So we don't have to pay for it. But we keep trying to pay for it. And we have spiritual leaders in a lot of places that want to keep their church in such bondage of control. Oh, kid. Those of you who have been with me for many, many years know the kind of pastor I am. It's not my job to call you on the phone and call you out in your sin. Now, if it's something affecting the church, then yeah, I will. If it's something going on I've got to address, I will. But you know what? You won't go out drinking on Saturday night and partying on Friday night, and you're going out doing this. You know what? That's not my job to call you and say, hey, you need to quit. I think you know. If you're married and you're sleeping with someone else you're not married to, is that wrong? That's weak. Is that wrong? Okay. Do y'all need me calling you and saying, Chuck, it's wrong you're stepping out on Jewel? And I think Chuck too scared, Jewel. I ain't got to call you out on. That's not my job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Holy Spirit will draw that out. The Holy Spirit. You know, Joe, I think about it when Carl Sparrow was coming here. Bless his little heart. He came for several years. And you and him were going door knocking for a while. Carl's in his early 20s. Had a big old earring in his both ears. And he come in one day. He said, Pastor, said, I know I'm going door knocking with Joe. And said, I got these big earrings in. Do I need to take them out? What do you want me to do when I go door knocking? I looked at him and I said, well, does it bother you any? He said, no, not really. Which it was, because he wouldn't be asking me, right? He says, no, not really. And I said, well, don't bother me then. Keep wearing them. So he did. About 3 weeks later, he come in one Sunday morning. They were out of his ears. I'm like, Carl, what happened to your earrings? He said, I just feel like I didn't need to wear them no more. See, if we let God just, and I'm not saying anything wrong or right with it, I'm just saying for him, he come ask me. So if we just let God do the work and we show love, God will take care of things. He'll take care of things. So let the Holy Spirit do the work. Go to the next verse. This is verse 51. I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, look at this, he's going to live forever. If any man eat of me, any man accept me, he's going to live forever. We have an eternal sentence upon our lives as Christians. Everybody trying to find the fountain of youth and live longer and exercise, and we should do all those things. And, you know, we want to grow old, hopefully most of us, and have a long, healthy life. But you know what? We have the answer to eternal life right here. Believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus, and you're going to live forever. This bread I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Jesus sacrificed himself for the life of the world. He gave his body. There's no other way to salvation but through Jesus. No other way. And I'm clear on that as a pastor, as a minister of the gospel, I'm clear on that. CNN interviewed me and says, how do you get to heaven? Jesus. What about people who don't believe in Jesus? I said, well, the Bible says Jesus is the only way to heaven. It's the only way to heaven. You know how they try to trick you and all. See, I would always go back to the Word. I wouldn't play that game. I would go back to the Word. Well, are you saying, Pastor, people go to hell and don't believe in Jesus? I would say the Bible says that he is the only way, truth, and life. So you think they're going to hell. The Bible says he is the only way, truth, and life. You fill in the blank. That's what the Word says. Now, I'm not going to get up there and say, oh, yeah, man, y'all burning. Break out the weenies. It's a roast time. Of course not. I'm going to go back to the Word and see, here's what Jesus said. Here's what Paul said. Here's what the disciples said. Here's, you know, what all these, here's what the Word says. And so we have to stand on the one name that saves us. And there's people that are trying to expand that gospel to meet the needs where they're at, to meet their lifestyle. If we're living a certain way, we start taking out some verses or adding some verses. If we're doing things we shouldn't be doing, instead of just letting God deal with that and help us through that, we just deny it's wrong altogether and try to get a gospel that fits our style. And we're seeing it. And that's why we've got so many denominations that have broken off through the years, hundreds and hundreds of denominations, because each one broke a little bit off here, a little bit off here. You know, Paul and those disciples were the first Christian church. What did they preach? They preached Jesus Christ, crucified and raised from the dead. They preached the Holy Spirit. They preached the gifts of the Spirit. They preached the resurrection. They preached heaven. They preached eternal life. We've gotten so far from that. And people are so confused because there's so many messages that don't clearly tell people Jesus is the way. He's the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only life. The Bible says no man can come to the Father. No person can ever come to God except the Spirit of God draw him. It's important, church. And I've been very clear through the years about this. You can't just get saved because it's a head decision. I don't get saved. You got to be drawn to be saved. Because you got to know you need a Savior before you can be saved. You've got to know there's a need. You got to know you're a sinner. You got to know there's an issue. You got to know there's something there that has to be changed before you can be changed. Go to the next verse, verse 53. Jesus said to them, verily I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, drink his blood, you have no life in you. What's he talking about there? That sounds kind of odd. And, you know, people say, well, I can't understand the Bible. I mean, what does that mean? Eat his flesh, drink his blood. This is simply, you've got to believe in his sacrifice on the cross. His flesh, his bodily crucifixion, absorbed all of our sins, and that his perfect blood, the Lamb of God, washes all of our sins away. There's no other way into the kingdom. Not about being a good person, because there's none good but one. It's not about trying to do the right things. It's not about trying to say, you know what, I don't hurt nobody, and I don't break the law, and, you know, I do this, so I'm okay. But have you called upon Jesus? Because if you haven't, you're still not his. It's that simple, church. You're not his. When you call upon Jesus and acknowledge, yes, you are Lord and you are God and there is no other, And I want to change my ways, God. I want to change who I am. And I give you all of me. Take me over. I want to be your child. I want you to be my father. That's how we're born again. The Bible says we must believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. We shall be saved. We want to dodge that avenue. We want to dodge because we think that following Jesus is going to interfere with our personal life. Can't have no fun. It's going to cramp my style. Oh no, it'll make your life fulfilled. It'll so complete your life. Has your way worked? Has your avenues worked? You know, when I ask people as a pastor, because I believe in this, there should be, and I know some folks argue me on this. Some people say it's a progressive thing, and I understand your journey with God is, yes. But there's got to be a moment in your life when you got saved. There's got to be a moment. There's people I talk to that don't know. Well, yeah, I mean, I said something as a little kid, and I've always been in church, and, well, I mean, yeah, I've always believed in God. Well, no, you hadn't always believed. No, you haven't. You hadn't always believed. There has to be a moment to when you believed he was your Lord and Savior, and you asked him to be that. And you may not remember the date or the year, but there ought to be a time you remember, yes, I did. I asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I called upon him as my God. Not just going to church and always hearing it. I mean, like the old saying, you know, come to church to make you a Christian no more than a car in a garage makes it. Parking garage makes me a car. Yes, thank you. You come to church don't make you a Christian no more than me parking in the garage makes me a car. Is that how it goes? Oh, okay, whatever. Y'all get the point. There's a lot of folks. Remember what Jesus said? He said, many will say, and man, this verse, it makes me always just say, God, I am yours, right? when I read this verse. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord. And I will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out devils in your name? Yeah, but I didn't know you. See, I've had folks in this church that wasn't operating in the Spirit of God. It was either a flesh spirit or a demon spirit. I've had it both ways. And so just because we can prophesy, just because we come to church, just because we say the right things, doesn't mean we're saved. Kind of how your kid tells you he's sorry when he's really not. They just got caught. I'm sorry. No, you're not. Because you keep doing it. I'm sorry. No, you're not. Yeah, you're sorry, all right. You're real sorry. But you're not really sorry. You just go through the motions of it because you don't want us mad at you or, you know, you want your cookie for dinner or whatever. You know, you want that Barbie doll is going to get you. Now I'm not getting it because, you know, whatever. I'm sorry. No, you're trying to get your way. Spiritually speaking, church, if we're really sorry, we turn to Jesus. And we say, help me, God. Help me. I need your help. Next verse, Jeremy. Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. Who eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, hath eternal life. I will raise it. You can take it to my office if you need to. You take it to my office if you need to. It's. I'm sorry. Says, I will raise him up the last day. Once again, Jesus says, if you believe in me, guess what? When it's your time, you'll be raised up. I've got you. This is the bread which come down from heaven. Not your father did eat manna, and they're dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live. He's talking about Moses in the day of, you know, the journey. He gave manna every day. They ate that bread, natural bread, for their natural body. They died. He says, what I have to offer you, you'll live forever. What I give, don't run out. The world is searching for a lot of answers. And they're searching for truth, they're searching for peace, they're searching for joy. And here's something I want to say. It's not about how religious we act, it's about how changed we become. There's a lot of people I know that are very religious acting, the most miserable people I've ever seen. How can you act like you're so religious and so but you're miserable all the time. Let God change you. Let there be fruit that you're bearing. Let the Holy Spirit do such a transformation that your faith becomes real. On Monday morning, your faith's real. On Saturday night, your faith's real. To where you really are walking, exercising who God is in your life. Not just a spiritual experience on Sunday, but a real experience. That's what God does. He gives you something that gets you through when you really need it. Next scripture, Jeremy. This is Acts 4:12. This is a very clear verse. There is salvation in no other name. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No name but Jesus. Man, that name brings such power, such deliverance, and such healing. And the Bible is clear, there's no other name. You can't be saved by being baptized in a church, being baptized under denomination. You can't be saved by saying a few, creeds of church. You can't be saved by doing your own thing or walking your own journey or serving old people or whatever you're going to do. You can't be saved those ways. The only way we can be saved is accepting and believing that the one person, Jesus Christ, came. He died for our sins to remove it out of our lives completely, and we can live a life of victory and freedom and forgiveness. Do you know, as a Christian, this may shock to me to hear this statement, as a Christian, we actually, in God's eyes, we walk in forgiveness. We walk in it. Because His blood is continually flowing to keep us in a state of forgiveness. That's what grace is. That's why I love that song, Though the Blood, when it says, even in my sin, you died for me then. You shed your blood then, even when I sin. We walk in God's eyes in a state of forgiveness. It's not something that turns off and on. We walk in a state of forgiveness if we believe what grace really does. Because, see, church, if we think that grace comes and goes, it's not grace at all. If we think grace is here one day and gone the next, it's not grace at all. True grace says, you know what? You're going to mess up, but I still love you, and I've still forgiven you, and I've died for all your sins. And if we could believe that Jesus, you died for all of my sins, even when I mess up, those sins have been accounted for through the blood of Jesus. My God, y'all don't want to hear. Y'all want to stay condemned, don't you? This is what real grace is. It's recognizing, yeah, I'm not doing what I should be doing, but God's still my God, and I'm still His child. Now, I believe we reap things we sow. Absolutely. I believe we pay a price for things we do. That's part of the principle of life. You go steal a car, you might get arrested. Don't blame that on God. That's just how it is. You step out on your wife, Chuck, if you don't get divorced, you may get beat. Or both. There's a price to pay. Whatever that is. But it doesn't mean that God forsook us. That I'm still not God's child. Man, that's the power of grace. To know, Jesus, I give you my heart. And from this day forward, it's settled. It's done. You're my God. But we don't have that mentality because we think. Because we don't keep our end of the bargain. And church, we can't keep our end of the bargain. People say they don't sin, or they've, or this, or they're just, oh, that's the ones to watch. I'm being honest with you, man. I'm a frail human being. I've got human passions and human desires, human temptations. Don't let nobody say that those things cause you not to be saved, or if you were holier than, if you were holy enough, you'd be above that. No, you wouldn't. Look at great people in our lives, whether it's well-known ministers through the years, whether it's people in your family, whether it's people that we admire, the secular world, no matter how much money they have or how much confidence we put in them, time after time we're let down, aren't we? Time after time. You know why? Because those people put their pants on, as the old saying goes, one leg at a time. And they wake up with fear, discouragement, temptation. Every Christian goes through midlife crisis. Every woman goes through womanly changes. No matter how saved you are, you go through changes. You go through emotional roller coasters. Every teenager, no matter how saved they are, goes through that growing up rebellious period. rolling their eyes, huffing and puffing, slamming a door, yelling, whatever. No matter how saved they are, they have those moments they act like a teenager. It doesn't discount their God's child. Grace keeps us all the way to the end. Grace does not drop us or let us go. No man shall pluck you out of my hand, the words of Jesus. No man, no, nothing's going to pluck you out of my hand. There's no other name. Then one more verse I want to read in Revelation 3:20. Jesus says here, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open that door, I will come to him and I will sup with him, and he will be with me." I'm knocking at the door. Do you hear me? I want you. I want in. I want your heart. I want your life. Will you let me come in and be God? Don't worry about the next step. Just worry about the only step. Give you my heart. When you get married, no, isn't that really all you're thinking about, is just joining as husband and wife? You're not, I mean, maybe some of you, but you know, in ideal marriage, you're not thinking about all the things that could happen over the next 30, 40, 50 years of your life. You're not thinking about what if this happens, or what if she changes, or how she's going to look when she's 50, or you know, how am I going to look when I'm 50, or what if. You know, when you're getting married and you're a young couple, especially, I mean, your older's a little different maybe, but when you're a young couple in your 20s, it's your first marriage, and you're at that altar, man, I wasn't sitting there looking at Melanie thinking, man, I wonder if she's going to blow up one day. Or, man, I wonder if, you know, if I'm going to still like her in 20 years. Man, I was so in the moment. All I want to do was throw a ring on her hand and whisk her away to her castle. I was Prince Charming and she was my princess. That's all I cared about. It's wedding day. Let's roll. I wasn't thinking about the what ifs. When you come to Jesus, don't think too much ahead. Just take that one step. Jesus, I trust you. I want to join my life to yours and let you take care of the rest. There's something about giving our lives completely over to the Lord that changes everything. God loves you as you are. Right as you are. Why don't you come sing that song, "As I Am"? I had it pulled up earlier. I don't know if it's still on the screen or not. God loves you right now. He sees everything you've done. He knows everything you've done, which is so scary. What's really scary, he knows all your thoughts. Whew. Wow. I mean, that's really scary. You make a fool people by not telling them things, or you might can hide your sin from people, but not from God. God knows your thoughts. He knows your ways. He knows the filthiness of your life. But yet, he's knocking on that door right now, saying, "I want you. God, you still want me like, yeah, I want you like you are. But I'm dirty and nasty. That's how I like you. Come on. That's how I want you. Because see, if you try to come to me any other way, then you're being self-righteous. Really. But when you come to me dirty and say, yeah, I'm dirty and nasty, God, I need you. I need you. Then you know what? He does a work in your life. Maybe some of you have never had a born-again experience where you've really gotten saved. Church is important to me as a pastor that people get saved. You know, it doesn't matter you've been coming here for 10 years. I mean, you've ever gotten really saved. So I want to give you a chance to respond to the message today as Melanie sings this song. That if you don't know if you're really God's child, maybe one of the ones I talked about, yeah, Pastor, I've been saved so many times I done lost count. And you're still not sure. Make it sure today for the last time. And say, when I leave this altar today, I know I'm God's child. And nothing can ever change that, ever in my life, ever change that again. This song was "As I Am." And I want to ask the church just kind of be reverent as she sings this song. I'm going to open up this altar today. And here's how I want this to flow this morning. If you want to give your heart to Jesus, because he wants your heart, if you want to respond to that this morning, as she sings this song, I want you to come to the altar. kneel, stand, whatever, but make an effort to come here and just say, God, I want to give you my heart. I want to give you my life. I know there's no other way to salvation. I heard the message. There's no other way but through you, Jesus. I'm going to do that today. You just pray that prayer and give your heart to Jesus today. And walk out of here knowing that you have eternal life. The world can change your situation like that. Read the news, tragedy, just like that. Car wreck, just like that. Man got murdered in Troutman, just like that. Life can be changed in a moment. Don't delay. If God is knocking, don't ignore the knock. Don't be afraid to open that door and say, yes, Jesus, I don't understand all things. I don't know how it's going to work out. I failed you time and time again. And here's the truth and good news, really. You're going to fail him again time and time again. But this time you'll know through my failures, he still loves me. And through my failures, he's not going to give me. And through my failures, I'm still saved. My God, we got to get away from this mentality that we have to do something to stay saved. Jesus went to the cross and paid the price in full that all people that call upon his glorious name should be saved forevermore. Salvation in his name. That takes time to turn that around because we've been beat our whole lives with that message of condemnation. I'm not saying, church, we don't. Just trust the Lord. If you want to give your heart to him today, she sings this song. I'm going to play the music, Jeremy. She sings this song. Y'all be praying. Listen to the words. Come to the altar. Say, Jesus, I give you my heart. I want to change my ways. You are Lord and Savior. And I want to leave here knowing I'm your child. If that's you, come this morning. The door's being knocked on.
When people throw sticks and stones, and they say I don't belong, you love me as I am. When courage is hard to find, and I don't have the strength to try, you love me as I am. As I am in all my weakness, as I am in all my faults, you came running like my champion just to love me as I am.
God is knocking on your heart. Respond to that, church. Just respond to that. Take that step of faith and trust him. He's enough for you today. He's all you need.
When envy invades my heart and tears it all apart, you love me as I am.
Yes, you do, Lord.
When forgiving is hard to do, and when I lose sight of you, you love me as I am. As I am in all my weakness, as I am in all my faults, you came running like my champion just to love me as I am. Somehow you see the best in me when I just see the world. Your faith in me is amazing. It's more than I fault. You came running like my to love me, just to love me as I am.
Church, I feel led right now. Anybody listen very closely. I'm very good about closing out when God is done. But I don't quite feel released. It's not me. It's not a me thing, I promise. But there's some knocking going on. And there's a stronghold holding that back. Go ahead and keep playing it, Jeremy. Play me again. I want to give another invitation. Because I want to feel released this morning. I don't quite feel released. Many times I've had one call and that's it. We go home. But your life's at stake. Don't sing it. Just let it play. Your life's at stake, church. Your eternity's hanging in the balance. And you may think, I'll do this another day or another time, or well, I'll talk to God. Well, talking to God, the devil talked to God in the wilderness. Talking to God doesn't do it. God is drawing some folks this morning. I just want you to obey for your own benefit. You're broken. You're in despair. You feel hopeless. And God is drawing. God is calling. You think, I don't want to do it again because every time I do it, I just go back the same way. This is different today. For some of you, this will be a life-changing experience. For some of you, the buck stops here, and this is it. God, I give it to you here, and I want to walk away from it, free from it, forever. If that's you this morning, don't be afraid to take that step and just talk to God. Say, God, I need you. God, I need you. I'm tired of living my life away from you and apart from you. God, I need you. The most important decision you can make is right now. Jesus, I want to know I'm your child. I want to know. There's no other way to know that but give your heart to him and confess him and say, Jesus, I know you're Lord and you're the only way, and I give you that. So as this song plays for the last time, if that's you today, please obey that and take a step forward and just come talk to God and let God give you what you need. God wants to give you something, but you got to be willing to receive it. Open the hearts, Jesus. Open the hearts today to receive what you have to give them. Let them not be afraid. Let this altar be your refuge today, church. As this song is being played, this is your chance. Jesus, I want to be yours. I want to be yours.
See the best in me when I just see the worst. Your faith in me is amazing. It's more than I as I am in all my weakness, as I am in all my faults, you came running like my champion just to love me. Just to love me as I am.
I want to do something this morning, church. Stretch your hands up to the altar right now, would you? I love you. These people are up here right now. Father, we want to pray for the ones at this altar right now. As they're up here in your presence, you give them what they need today, Lord. You strengthen, you anoint, and you empower. From this day forward, when they walk out of this sanctuary, they will know they have been in your presence. They will know they are your child. They will know you as their Lord and God. They will not be drawn back into a past condemnation message, but they will walk out of here knowing I've given it all to you right now. You are mine and I am yours. Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And I will walk out of here a victorious, born again, redeemed, washed away child of God for the rest of my life. We empower these up here, Lord, to walk out in complete victory in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen, amen. God bless you. It's a family. Isn't that beautiful? A family. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I had a, what's your name again? I'm sorry. Andrew, stand up a minute. I had a dream about you last week. This is what I had a dream about, I was telling you about, remember? I had a dream this week that I was up here preaching, and you walked up to the altar. Remember me telling you this? It was you. You walked up to the altar, and as you were walking up, the power of God came on you so strong, it hit you, and you went flat on the floor. That was you. I dreamed that about. And I believe God's got a special purpose and call in your life. I want to pray that. Is that okay? Did I pray that for your life? I want to pray that. Lift your hands to the Lord, son. I want you to lift your hands to God. God, I pray for this young man that you empower him with a ministry, that you equip him, God, to serve you all of his days, that you fill him with an authority and an anointing he's not yet known, that he tastes things he's not yet tasted, that he sees things he's not yet seen. This is your child, God, and you showed me this man in a dream, and you are going to take him and use him for your glory. I pray you order his steps and use him all of his life in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, breathe upon him in a special way that this day he will never be the same. In the name of Jesus, we declare it. Amen. Hallelujah. Give God a hand clap of praise.